we moved to Bloemfontein, and I realized, but not everybody is like that. Not everybody wants to go out and reach out to people and want to serve people for many reasons. And there became a journey began with us where we tried to excite people, and I just wanted them to taste it once how it feels to really serve people within your passion that the Lord gave me. So I think I've shared it in the past. One of my biggest fears was when I gave my life to Christ, that he's going to ask me to stand on the corner and preach. You know, I always had this weird picture of people with standing on the corner and shouting at the people, "You're going to hell, you're going to hell, turn or burn." And I thought, I'm not going there. I don't want to be a Christian because I don't want to do that. So I was really scared the Lord's going to ask me to do something that I'm not comfortable with. And then I quickly realized, but he gives me a passion for something. And then he wants me to go and make a difference. So tonight's scripture is in James 2, verse 17 to 26. So let's read together. And before we start reading, I just want to also pray. Lord, I just want to come and honor you for who you are and what you do, Lord. And we just want to come and say thank you for what you've imparted in each one of us, Lord. Every passion, every desire, everything that breaks our heart, that stirs our heart, that makes us angry, that makes us sad. Lord, I pray that you will come and just make us uncomfortable with our current state of being. And that we will go out and look towards somebody that has less than we have, that are less fortunate than we have. And I pray, Lord, that you will give us a desire and a burning desire to go out tonight and go and bless somebody else. Give us a burning passion, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's read together. James 2, verse 17 to 26. What is the benefit, my beloved believers, if someone claims to have faith but has no good works as evidence? Can that kind of faith save him? No, a mere claim of faith is not sufficient. Genuine faith produces good works. If a brother or sister is without adequate clothing and lacks enough food for each day, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, with my blessing, keep warm and feed yourselves," but he does not give them the necessities for the body, what good does that do? So too faith, if it does not have works to back it up, by itself it's dead, inappropriate and ineffective. But someone who may say, "You claim to have faith and I have good works, show me your alleged faith without the works if you can, and I will show you my faith by my works, that is, by what I do. You believe that God is one. You do well. You do well to believe that. The demons also believe that and shudder and bristle in awe and full terror. They have seen his wrath. But as you are willing to recognize, you foolish, spiritual, shallow person, that faith without good works is useless." When I read that part, maybe I should take that out. It seems so harsh. Verse 21, "Was our father Abraham not shown to be justified by works of obedience, which expressed his faith when he offered Isaac his son on the altar as a sacrifice to God? You see that his faith was working together with his works, and as a result of works, his faith was completed, reaching his maturity when he expressed his faith through obedience. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and his faith was credited to him by God as righteousness and as conformity to his will. And he was called the friend of God." So Abraham did what the Lord asked him, and God called him his friend. You see that a man believer is justified by works and not by faith alone. That is, by acts of obedience, a born-again believer reveals his faith. In the same way was Rahab the prostitute, not justified by works too, when she received the Hebrew spies as guests and protected them and sent them away to escape by a different route. For just, and this is the power verse for me, verse 26, for just as the human body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works of obedience is also dead. And tonight I want to share one or two stories of what motivated us and what blessed us. And hopefully inspire each one of you tonight to go out of here, and if you're not already involved, to ask the Lord, where can I go out and bless somebody else? What breaks my heart? Where do I want to bless people? And each one of us may say, and looking back at my stories, I realized we never had hundreds and hundreds and thousands of rands. The Lord said, go and help, and we went and we just gave our time. Most of the time, the Lord sent people to us that said, I hear you doing this, here's some money, can I sponsor the food, can I sponsor this? It was not about the money, it was about my time. So, that is also one of my favorite verses, for just as the human body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works of obedience is also dead. And I don't know how many of you can remember that time before God. That time before you gave your life to Christ. I remember one morning, I woke up and I just felt dead. I just felt this darkness. And I said, Lord, I don't know what's happening. And the Lord told me, and I just felt this spirit, just this soft, small, still voice that said, this is how people feel that do not know me. And if we serve the Lord, we forget how it feels, that loneliness. Now, that body with that loneliness, the word says, if we say we believe, but we do not bless other people around us, it's the same. There's so much we are missing out on. So we started in Wilmer with these poor little kids. All teenagers really comes out of poor situations. Most of them, we normally, when they join, you have to be older than 13 years old. And then Friday evenings, we invited them to this community center. And we played games, and we fed them, and we invited people to come and chat to them about what their jobs are, what they want to be when they grow up. And it was amazing to see some of these children transform from being, I'm going to help my dad fix cars in our yard when I grow up, to I want to become a pilot. I want to be a helicopter pilot. And that guy, through the how many years that we were involved there, gave his life to Christ, this teenager. He found out what he needed to be a helicopter pilot. And he's currently in Texas, driving helicopters, flying helicopters. His life dream was just, I want to fix cars with my dad, because that's what I saw my dad do in the backyard, and that's what I want to do. I want to work with him. And all we did was we went there every Friday afternoon, and we just blessed him. We just loved him. We played games with him. We took them on camps, took them away from their homes, and just took them away for weekends and blessed them. Took them to the sea and just have them swim and see the sea for the first time. And just impart the love of God on them. And you know what? On a Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, when we dropped off the kids after the camp, I felt so sad. I'm like, I miss these kids. And how many times did I tell my wife, we're doing something wrong. We are so blessed. We're doing something wrong somewhere. Because we felt more blessed than I think we ever blessed those children. So in Bloemfontein, my wife got pregnant and we had our first born, Clarice. And that is tough. How many of you have children? Can I just see a rise of hands? How many? So those of you that do have kids, That's hard work. That is hard work. That's the toughest work I've ever done. But it's the most amazing job as well. And I started telling my wife, but I can't believe there's single parents out there doing the same thing alone. Every morning, every afternoon, every evening. They can't say, okay, Donnie, you just take the kids for an hour. I'm just going to lie in the bath, or I'm going out with my friends or whatever. They've got that kid with them all the time. If you're frustrated, you can't just say, okay, take over for half an hour, I'll be back. And we started a group. We went to the church and said, we want to start a group for single parents. We want to help them. And we said, it's not going to be a dating site. So if you're looking for a partner, don't come. And we just got all of these single parents together, and we said, we're not single. We are parents, and we love the Lord. What do you want to do? And they said, the two toughest things for us is we can't go on holiday, because it's not like a going on holiday alone. And most of the time, I need to spend all my money on my kids, so I can't afford it. And secondly, the most depressing day in a week is on a Sunday. Sunday after church, I go home, and I sit there alone. And I came in there, I thought, we're going to help them, and we're going to do all of these great things. And I thought, it's so practical. So we just started Sunday after church service. We just got everybody together. Let's bring whatever you would have eaten that day, bring that together, and we'll just, all the kids play, the moms just relax, the dads just chill, and we just have fun. Sometimes we'll invite all the kids to our home and say, you ladies and gentlemen, go out and have coffee, and just sit and chat, and for an hour or two, we'll just play with the kids and take them off your hands. And then we started selling pancakes and vetkoek and mince, and we started raising funds to take them on a holiday. And the one lady came and said, my mom's got this three-story house in Hartenbos. You can have it for free if you want to take them. And then the dominee at the church where we were in Bloemfontein, he was also one of the DJs on one of the Christian radio stations. And he phoned me on the air. He's like, Donnie? I said, yes. He's like, hold on 1 second, you're on the air. I'm like, okay, wait, let me just pull off here. And then I had an interview about this, what we're going to do. And people started sponsoring money, sponsoring petrol. And we took these single parents in December to Hartenbos to have a holiday. And if I think back, it's the most amazing times that we had. But it's because of that word that says, we are more blessed to give than to receive. We, at that stage, was part of the Dutch Reformed Church, and somebody came in and did a teaching, and a lot of people that day gave their lives or recommitted their lives to Christ. And we decided we're going to start cell groups in Bloemfontein in the Dutch Reformed Church. And we helped setting up cell groups and Bible study groups. And now what I've learned, I want to impart on people. And it was a struggle in the beginning. People didn't want to get involved. They didn't want to get their hands dirty. They didn't want to get out of their comfort zones. They didn't want to give up their Friday evenings, Sunday afternoons, whenever. Eventually we got the cell that we were part of. There was in Bloemfontein at that stage about 12, 13 years ago, there was a lot of children sleeping on the streets. A lot of them, really a lot of them. And we decided as a cell, we're going to start getting tackies together, and we're going to start getting toys and clothing and just bless them. Go out one evening and we're just going to bless these kids. And it took a few months to get a date and a time where everybody's willing and available. Oh man, how those people that got involved were blessed. I mean, every single child, they went way overboard. The idea was, if I remember correctly, we said we'll give them each a pair of new tackies, we'll give them a jacket and some sweets. They were spoiled like crazy. I think if I want to estimate, like every child received a gift bag to the value of $1,000. Everybody just went haywire when they started realizing how lucky this is. They just went all over. The one lady, what's so interesting, the one lady that got that was in our cell, she was very reluctant. I saw on Facebook the other day, she is still involved in the community. She is now getting people involved. She's been nominated as the, I can't remember the words, but she's been nominated as one of these people that are making a difference in the community in Bloemfontein. Because they've just tasted, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So have any one of you, have you ever said, I'll do anything but that thing. I won't do that. Lord, I'll do anything, but don't ask me to do that. And then he comes and say, go and do that. And I said, I'll never get involved with the children's home. Because everybody goes to the children's home. If I don't know what to do with my old clothing, I'll take it to the children's home. If we have a function, I don't know what to do with the food, they dump it at the children's home. And I always said, I don't want to get involved there. I think there's enough people there. And one day I got an email in Bloemfontein still from a children's home in Pretoria. And it was a wish list of what every child in that home wanted. And it just touched my heart. And I decided, you know what? There's a massive children's home in Bloemfontein. And I'm going to go there and I'll chat to them and see maybe we can get them each a little gift. And I said, please ask every single child in the children's home what they would like for Christmas. Give me an option one and an option two. And I took the list, and I'll tell you what was on the list now. And I took the list and I sent it to this specific cell group. So 6-8 months earlier, we got involved with the children, and now we said, okay, let's go and see if we can bless the children at the children's home. And I sent the message and I said, guys, please have a look at that list. Put your name next to something and send it on to your friends, send it on to your family, and if they want, please send it on. No limits. Big mistake. Some of the children on that list wanted white socks. That was their option one. They just wanted white socks. One of the boys said he wants his own bar of soap. That's what he wants for Christmas. A girl said she wants hairbands. So I just get emotional thinking about it. But that's what they wanted. They don't have parents. They don't have, they're staying in a hall with 20, 30 other kids. So there was one guy that wanted a CD from Juanita Duplessis, his option one, a certain CD. If he can't have option one, his option two was a different CD from Juanita Duplessis. So one day I got this call, and I can't remember the guy's name. I said, Donnie, it is, I can't remember, Dupi or somebody. Dupi, don't keep my throat. And he said, Donnie, is Dupi speaking? I said, yes, Dupi. It's like, I'm Juanita's husband. I'm like, okay, yeah. It's like Juanita Duplessis. Okay, I just get goosebumps. He's like, I saw this list. Somebody sent this list to us. We want to get involved. I want to send him one of each of my CDs. I want to send him all my merchandise. I'll sign everything. And we want to contribute 5,000 Rand 13 years ago. So it was like equal to 10 today. I want to contribute to a Christmas party, to whatever you need. And then people started emailing me from France, from over the world. That mail just went haywire. And then the head of the children's home heard about it, and he's like, Donnie, you know, this is going crazy. People are dropping off presents, and, you know, how many presents do you have? I'm like, half of my living room is full of presents. He said, okay, let's bring everything here, and I saw this guy starting to get nervous now. And we had to actually take a trailer and drove up and down to the children's home. And every time if we drop off all of these gifts, I mean, those guys' eyes were just like, is there more? Yeah. Is there more? Yeah. They had the most amazing time. And we sat back and we thought, is this possible? How can this be? We are enjoying this more than I think any of them could ever. My wife at that December was pregnant with Darius. And she was like, he was born in March. So she was in the uncomfortable last 3 months of her pregnancy. And she was sitting unwrapping and wrapping gifts, because now people starting dropping off gifts. No name, nothing what's on there. So it's like, okay, what's here? So every single gift you need to unwrap, see what's in it, make a note, wrap it again. But every single child received their option one, their option two. They received more gifts. We had so many gifts. There was a children's home where about 100 children were housed. And then they had satellite homes where it's a mom and a dad with about 10 children. And there were 8 or 9 of those houses. And we said, guys, we've got so much money and so much presents. Come get involved. One person came to us and said, I want to give 150 rand per person for all of these satellite homes to go and buy a voucher. And I want to give a Bible to each child. It was just, stuff just flows out. And we were so much more blessed to give than to receive. And the one thing that we realized is that people, they're just looking for a platform. That's all they want. They're looking for a platform to get involved. So my last story that I want to inspire you tonight. I just want to get to my notes here. Where am I? So three years ago, we drove around in Malmesbury and we saw all of these people sleeping outside in the winter months, and it broke our hearts. And one day I thought, let's go and make lekker hot mieliepap, lekker porridge for these people. And we said every single morning we'll go and hand out porridge to these kids, to these homeless people. And Deval luckily said, Donnie, don't do every day. Commit to 1 or 2 days a week. Don't do that to yourself. And we were like, yeah, do I really want to do this? And then my heart breaks. And the one morning we came to church, and I saw this one lady, and she was so cold and so hungry. And it just broke my heart. And I thought, Lord, we're doing this. And we went and we bought this massive pot. And every Monday morning, Wednesday morning, and Friday morning, we decided we'll do one morning, take one off, do one morning, take one off. And across from Spur, we started handing out lekker mieliepap. Hot, a lot of butter, a lot of sugar, and a lot of milk. We believe in Colossians. It says everything we do it as if unto the Lord. So if we bless people, we do the best. We don't buy the cheapest cool drink if we for ourselves buy the best one. Whatever we would do, we will do the same for those that are least, that are less fortunate than we are. And that specific winter, every morning at 4:30, we got up, we started making a massive pot of pap. I mean, that pot was so massive, we had to light 3 different burners to get enough heat on that. I see my wife smiling with all the memories coming back. And we used to stir and hand out porridge. And every morning we just said, yes, a lekker hot bowl of porridge, may I pray for you. I didn't say, I want to pray before you can have it. Here's the porridge, may I pray for you. Nobody ever said no. And I just could put my hand on every person's shoulder and just pray for them. And pray that the Lord will bless him, just cover him. And the most amazing thing is about a year ago, we were leaving Spar, and this one person afterwards, hello sir, sorry sir. And I'm just like, oh, I wonder what the story is now. I thought this guy's going to ask for money. And he said, you the porridge guy? I said, yes, we're the porridge guy. And he said, when you gave us porridge every morning, I lost my job. I was addicted to drugs. I was living on the street, and I was so angry at everybody. He said, now thanks to you, you gave me hope. I've got a new job. I've got a place to stay, and I love the Lord. And I'm just like, Lord, this is what you've done. All we need to do is be willing to be used. And tonight, I was very uncomfortable when I started feeling that this is what the Lord wants me to do. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to come and boast about what we've done. And the Lord said, I want you to inspire people. So I want you tonight to really sit back a moment and say, where can I go and experience this joy? What breaks my heart? What makes me excited? Where do I want to go and feel this joy that surpasses all understanding. So can I ask you to turn to each other two at a time. Just to turn to each other and for 1 minute quickly share what makes your heart break. What makes your heart, what breaks your heart, what makes you excited? If you talk about children, if you talk about children that are neglected, children that are hungry, that breaks my heart. So if I get involved, I want to get involved with kids. But it's different seasons. Sometimes the Lord will say, go and feed the poor. Sometimes the Lord will say, take single parents out on a holiday. So turn to each other quickly and just share for a moment what is your passion that you've always dreamed about or that really challenges you. And then I'll tell you what we're going to do after that. Don't worry, I'm not going to send you out here and starting praying for people. Did everybody get a chance to say what breaks their heart? I see some people still talking. I'll give you another minute or two. So if you don't know the person that you are talking to, please make sure that you know his name, because I'm going to ask you now to pray after me and pray for that person. So, Margie, the lady next to you is Clarice and the other one is Darius, okay? So I want you to let's take turns, and I want you now, JP, if I can use you as an example. Can you? Constantly by my. So I want you to put your hand on that on your friend's shoulder. And then we're going to pray for each other. And you can just pray after me. And we're just going to ask the Lord to, if we are not already involved in something similar, that the Lord will come and show us a path and show us strategies how we can get involved. If your heart burns for older people, that the Lord will open doors. If your heart burns for people that sleep on the street, that the Lord will show you what to do. If your heart breaks for people that are lying in the hospitals, that He will show you. So put your hand, you can decide who you're going to pray for first. So the one person is going to pray for your friend, and then he's going to pray for me. So make sure you know his name. Good. Okay, let's close our eyes and pray for each other. Lord, I pray for JP. Now you pray for the person, whoever you're praying for. Lord, I pray for JP. I pray that he will move into action. I pray for a burning passion to go out and experience what you say in your word, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Lord, I pray that you make JP excited about this thing that is in his heart, and that you give us the courage to not back down. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the other person. So I prayed for JP, now JP prays for me, and we do the same. Lord, I pray that you would move Donnie into action. Give him or her a burning passion to go out and experience what you say in your word. That it's more blessed to give than to receive. Lord, I pray that you make Donnie excited about this thing that you placed in my heart. And you give us the courage to do and not back down. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want you to commit to pray for the next week. And if you've got your cell phone here, maybe set a reminder and say, every afternoon at 5 o'clock or 12 o'clock, at 6 o'clock, I will pray for JP. For the next week, for courage to go out of his comfort zone and really pursue what he said he wants to pursue. So if you don't have the other person's number and you want to keep him accountable, I love accountability partners. So if I say I'm going to do this, I can just, Lord, I don't have time now. No, I don't have money. I don't have whatever. And then it's easy to not do it. But if you feel comfortable, take the person next to you, take the number, and keep each other accountable through the next week. Have you spoken to this old age home? Have you gone to the hospital? Have you chatted to this children's home? Whatever is on your heart to do, let's go out into action. If there's something specific your heart burns, and you don't know what to do or how to get there, please come and chat to one of us. Come and chat to me. Come and chat to JP. Come and chat to Cindy. Come and chat to Duval. I won't put you on the spot. Come and chat to somebody and say, I've got a burning desire to do something. Come and help me. And let's move and become the hands and feet of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we just want to say thank you that you love us, that you inspire us, that you created this time tonight. Lord, thank you that you've put this on my heart to come and share what you can do through us, Lord. And I pray for a burning passion and desire that we, each and every person here tonight, will go out and go into action, Lord. That we will take this first step and that you will just come and be with us and help us and guide us. Lord, give us strategies. Give us plans. Give us ideas, Lord. Put people on our hearts that we can go and talk to. Lord, you are the master strategist. We pray that you will impart some of that strategies tonight on us, that we will go out and serve you and be the hands and feet, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I hope you are inspired and challenged and maybe a little uncomfortable. Please stay a while, have some coffee, enjoy, and maybe chat to each other and go and tell one or two people what your heart's desire is.